10, and we'll get into that text in just a moment. I've already mentioned during Bible class that Last to Leaders is a pretty big program. Just pre-COVID, our convention, just before we had to shut down for COVID, we were on a record registration. We were over 20,000 registered for our convention. This past year, this past Easter, we had 17,000, so we're coming back. We have 9 conventions all over America. We have a convention in Louisville, now in Mid-Atlantic, in Nashville, in Atlanta, in Orlando, in Little Rock, and in Dallas, in California, and in Denver. So we have spread all over America, so to speak. We are now in foreign countries. There are 4 conventions in India. There's a convention in the Philippines. And there's a convention in Romania. I meant to mention that and I forgot it. Just wanted you to know that the Lord has blessed the Lazarus program, and we appreciate that. In my life as a minister, almost 50 years in preaching, I've been so blessed. I've been blessed to be able to travel and to see and to preach in different places of the world and different places in America. In my traveling and visiting different churches, it's been educational for me. It's given me a pretty good picture of our brotherhood throughout the churches of Christ. And there are many things that I've noticed. Let me share with you one thing that I've noticed. And that is that in some of these churches I visit and preach in, I notice there are no children. I notice that there are no teenagers. And I can remember on many occasions going into the church and just hoping that sometime during the week when I was there in the meeting that I would hear just the cry of a baby. And I never would. If I could just see one teenager in church, that would be great. But I never would. And I can remember as a young preacher that it used to bother me, babies crying at worship. It just, for some reason, it got all over me. But through the years after going and experiencing so many places with no children and no teenagers, I realized that I was so wrong. And today it doesn't bother me at all. In fact, it's sort of like it was with Jesus. It's sort of joy to the ear to hear a baby in the audience. Because, you know, there's some hope. Maybe there's some future there in that congregation. Another group of churches that I have visited in through the years are churches that have children and have teenagers. It is evident that church values that those children really matter in that church. You can look at the budget of that church and you can say they invest a lot in the children. You can see how that the young people work with the older people and the older people as a church. Sometimes, you know, we'll say, well, I've raised my kids and I've done my part and so that's all we do. But in this church, in these churches, you see that even the older people who have no children or grandchildren, they're interested in the children of that church and the teens in that church. And they work and they involve in growing and develop. They see it as a part of their service and the importance of the future of that congregation. What a wonderful thing it is to go into church. And it's evident that children matter in that church. And then there's another group of churches that I have found myself in through the years. And that's churches who have children and churches who have teens. But it seems like they're just there to be babysitted. It seems like there's no interest whatsoever. You look at the budget, and very little in the budget is given to develop and to encourage the young people to stay faithful. And that's why so many children walk away from the church as they grow up and as they leave our local churches. And you see that there's no interest of your older people being involved in the lives of the younger people. And it's evident, it's just evident that in a sense, children do not matter in that congregation. This is one of the reasons why the last leaders has been a part of my life, as I mentioned earlier, since 1980. Because one of the things that LADS will do is it will take these churches that I've just mentioned in this third scenario, who have children and who have teens, and maybe they don't know what direction to go. And it says here, we can help you. We can help you get involved. We can help you care about your children. We can help you care about your teenagers. And we can give you some things that will strengthen those young people. I don't know if you remembered or not, but in the video, we've done some research. And 85% of the young people who will go through the LADS Leaders Program will retain their faith in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And that's one of the reasons why that I've been involved in LADS, because of what it offers to churches. It offers to churches that do love and value their children. It offers them more things in which they can strengthen those children. You see, here's the sad thing, folks. If those churches who have teenagers and who have children, but really it's like they just babysit them, and it really doesn't matter to those who are older, because everything is focused on those who are older and not the young. What happens if that continues, folks? That church will become like that first church I mentioned, where you have no children and where you have no teenagers. Today, we live in a culture. We live in a culture that doesn't want to be bothered with children. It's evident. You can look everywhere. You can look online. You can look in on your news. You can read your papers. Folks, children are being abused in so many ways in our society today. Children are being abused physically. Children are being abused verbally. Children are being abused sexually. And some of those things, and maybe you've been a part of that when you were younger, and you know that some of those things you'll never, ever in your life get over. It is a product of our society today. Today, we live in difficult times for our kids, and we know it. And for me to make a statement like, we live in a society where children doesn't matter, may seem strange to you, but I think there's some indicators of that in our society. One of the indicators is, folks, that last year there were nearly 1 million children that were aborted in this country. Now, if that doesn't say something about a society, I don't know what does. There are other indicators as well. And that is the selfishness that's come into the American society. The selfishness that's come into moms and dads and into homes and parents. I was reading an article written by Barbara Whitehead not long ago. And she was, the article basically, she'd done a lot of research. And she was basically talking about the effects of a divorce on children. And any research that you go to, you'll see that it does affect children. And in this discussing this, she talked about how that what's happening today with mom and dad is entirely different than what happened with mom and dad years ago. You see, years ago when there were problems in a marriage, mom and dad would stay together, and the reason they stayed together was because of the children. Sometimes they might say, when the children are gone, we'll do this, but they stayed together. But in our world today, the mindset of America is this. The mindset of America is, I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. And these kids, they'll be all right, they'll get over it, they'll survive, because I'm going to do what I want to do. And because of that, and because of the selfishness that we have in our society today, children are being abused in so many, many ways. Now let me say this before I go any further. I mentioned about children being affected by divorce. I'm sure there's some single parents in this church, and God bless you. More than likely, you're beating the odds. You got your children here. You love them. You're doing everything you can to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You are to be praised. You are to be uplifted. God bless you for what you're doing. I want you to understand that. And I didn't want you to misunderstand the statement. I was just simply making a point that the selfishness in our homes today is bringing abuse upon our children. Now, let's think about this. As in the past, so it is in the future, that what's in our culture has a tendency to creep into the church. And sometimes what's in our culture creeps into the church. It just sort of eases and oozes its way into the church. And folks, we don't even know it. And I wonder today if that could be some of the reason why so many of our children are leaving today. Why there's not emphasis placed upon children and children matter today, because some of the thinking in our society has crept into our thinking in the church. You know, it makes you wonder when you read a poll, and preachers were asked, this was not just of Church of Christ, but denominations as well, and preachers were asked, is the children ministry priority in your church? And only 24% of the preachers said that children's ministry were a priority in their church. You know, it makes you think when you look at a poll that was given where it says that 70% of the churches polled said they struggle, they have a very difficult time finding Bible school teachers for their Sunday school on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Now, I hope you are different than that. I hope there's a list waiting here in this church for people. I would give anything for our deacons who are in charge of our lower grades at Hartsville to come and say, Brother Hines, quit talking about Bible class teachers. Don't say it anymore. We've got so many people wanting. I would love for the day that that would happen. But you see, in most of our churches, that's not the case. So I wonder, is some of this thinking, you know, sort of crept in? I wonder if some of this thinking crept into our society, our thinking in the church. When you go into churches and you see that the children's rooms are down a dark hallway, and you go in and are the teens' rooms, and it's just a plain room, and maybe sometimes it's half of it's used for a storage room, and there's no thinking, and then there's no effort whatsoever. And you look on the budget, and the budget has very little or no money for the children, the ministry there. You begin to wonder, do children really, really matter in that church? Sometimes I think that we try to endure children so we can get to the parents. But maybe, folks, it ought to be backwards. Maybe we ought to be trying to endure the parents in our local churches to get to the children. And it makes me wonder sometimes, has our thinking and our society crept into our thinking? When you get a letter as a preacher or a shepherd, as I have done in the past, and it says, Brother Hines, we've got to do something about those crying babies in our church. Or Brother Hines, those kids are messing up our building. It makes you wonder if that kind of creeping has sort of made its way into the thinking of the church today. I have to confess with you folks, there have been times in my ministry where I have thought that my preaching was the most important thing in the church. But then you begin to think, what really is more important than the teaching of children and teens and bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? I look back, and the basic knowledge that I have today is because there were some teachers who were willing to instill the facts and instill the truths to me that I carry with me today. And I thought this in getting this lesson together. I thought, could it be that this thinking has crept into the church? Because what do we usually do? We'll take our best teachers, and where do we put our best teachers? We put our best teachers with the adults, don't we? I wonder sometimes if that's the case. I tell you, when you look at the Jewish culture, folks, that wasn't the case. You go back and they invested in their children, and children really, really matter to them. And I think if you were to sew up the heart and soul of the Bible, and what the Bible says, and what the Jewish tradition says, and the attitude that we ought to have about children, you'll find it in Psalms 127, in verses 3 through verse 5. Notice what the psalmist said. He said, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They have not been ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Now let's take for just a few moments and let's see how Jesus looked at children. Because I want you to understand something, folks. Children mattered to Jesus. And if children mattered to Jesus, they ought to matter to us. And so we look at Mark chapter 10, and we find in verse 10 the setting of this whole scene of these children being brought to Jesus. And we find that Jesus was in the house. Now, Jesus has just done, in the text here, has just dealt with a very difficult subject of marriage and divorce. And after he leaves that subject, he's in the house, and so he is here pictured in the house. Here's what's interesting to me when I look at this text and I think about Jesus. It seems like children were always around Jesus. Always around. It seemed like whenever Jesus wanted an illustration, that there was a child around that he could use for some kind of illustration. I say that because it looked in the previous chapter, in Mark chapter 9. Just before this story that we're going to read here, of children being brought to Jesus, just earlier, I mean just a short time earlier, in Mark chapter 9, in verse 37, we find these words. "Whoever receives," Jesus saying this, "whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." It just seemed like that children were all around Jesus. Now, I know that children mattered to Jesus. I know that children mattered to Jesus, first of all, because of his touch. Because of his touch. Notice the first part of verse 13 of Mark chapter 10. Notice the Bible says that they brought little children to him that he might touch. Now, the "they" there has to be parents. And the reason I say that is because when you look at Luke's parallel account here in Luke chapter 18 of this story here in Mark 10, Luke uses the word infants. So parents are bringing their children to Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that they were bringing them to Jesus to be baptized by Jesus. We understand that children do not have the faith that's necessary to become a child of God. They can't repent and they can't confess. Also, we know that in John chapter 4, in verse 2, that Jesus never baptized anybody. So they're not coming to Jesus to be baptized by Jesus, as some would like to maybe say. What you have here is simply a Hebrew tradition. You see this in the Old Testament, where the patriarchs would lay their hands and pass blessings on. You see Isaac doing it to Jacob and Esau. You see Jacob doing it to Manasseh and Ephraim, as he just simply lays their hands and simply passing a blessing on. Jesus received these children. And the Bible says they came because they wanted Jesus to touch these children. Jesus saw it a joy. He did not think of crying babies and babies messing up as something that was horrible and terrible. Here's the point I want to make. They brought their children to Jesus. More than any other time in our society today, folks, parents ought to be bringing their children to Jesus. They should be bringing them to God. They should be bringing them and having them involved and instilling the Word of God in their life. They should be bringing them to Jesus and giving them moral values that are based upon the principles of this word. You see, we look around today in our society and we see young people going to get schools and just blowing people up. And we wonder why. And yet we let our children watch all of these violent games and play all these violent games over and over and over again. And we wonder in our society, why is all this happening? We watch our young people leave and they go and they live together. And they're thinking nothing about premarital sex. And we wonder, why in the world? What's happened to our society? And yet we've turned teaching our values over to the television and the internet, because 95 to 97% of what they see of sexual acts on the television are outside of marriage. But we wonder why. What we've done in so many cases in the church today, folks, is that we have turned teaching moral values over to the internet and over to the television. And we say, I'm not going to make my children come to church. No, sir. That's going to be a choice of their own. Listen, folks, when you make a statement like that, you're saying that God is an option. God is no option. We need to be bringing our people, our children, to Jesus to teach them the gospel so that they can go and they can share the gospel with others as well. You know the passage, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child. Folks, that word train means train. When you train something, it means it's a deep involvement. It's when you do something over and over and over again. Whether you're training as an athlete or whatever it might be, it is getting that muscle memory. It's getting that mental memory. It's training over. It's instilling over and over again. I mentioned those basic Bible facts were just hammered and hammered and hammered into me as a young person. And when you grow old, they don't forget those things. You train up a child in the way you should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train. Train, it's like you take a big nail, let's say a big stake like this, and you got a big sledgehammer, and you just start driving it and driving it and driving it, and you get it all the way down in the ground. And then you try to pull that stake out of the ground, and you can't do it with your own physical strength, can you? And that's the way it is with the Word of God. We bring them, we invest in them, and we bring them to Jesus because they matter to us, and we hammer, and we put into them the moral principles that they need. See, children matter to Jesus, folks, because of his touch. But I also suggest to you that children matter to Jesus because of his anger. Because of his anger. What's what happens here? Here you've got Jesus, and they're bringing the children, and the disciples are like a lot of us sometimes. They rebuke the parents for bringing the children to Jesus. Notice the last part of verse 13. But the disciples rebuked. In the Greek, that's a very harsh rebuke, okay? Rebuke those who brought them. Now, I don't know why necessarily. I don't think you can pin it down why they're so mad and ticked off. I don't know. It could be that they thought they were protecting Jesus. It could be that they thought that all the people that were sick and physically, the sick spiritually, were more important than the children. I wonder if it could be maybe they were just simply tired of the children. That's what Jesus does. They rebuke the parents for bringing the children, and Jesus rebukes them. Verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. Look, when you say greatly displeased, don't take that easily. This means Jesus was really, really angry. We know he got angry when we were in the temple and he cleansed the temple. Only one time is this Greek word used, and it's right here. Maybe the most angry that Jesus ever got was the way that these disciples were rebuking these parents who brought these children to him. You know, I think when Jesus looks down on us today and he sees us, maybe he rebukes us as well when we complain about children, when we complain about the noise, We complain about the mess they're making. We complain about the contact. You know, children were a sound of joy to Jesus. At Hartzell, we have this big fellowship area. We built it in 2007 with our new auditorium. And it's beautiful. It's nice. We have a preschool. We have 3 days of preschool a week. And we have, it's been a great evangelistic tool for us. Over 3/4 of the children there from our community. But you put those children in our fellowship area, you know what they're going to do? They're going to mess it up. You put our kids that come and play in that fellowship area before our worship service, you know what they're going to do? They're going to mess it up. And I've been guilty of it. Sometimes I've walked in the fellowship area and there'd be a hole in the wall. There'd be fingerprints on the wall. And there'd be, you know, scuff marks all over the tile. And you say, what are these kids? Let me tell you, folks, holes can be repaired and replaced. Walls can be repainted. And skid marks can come up. But it's hard. It's hard to replace the soul of a child. You let me see what makes you angry. I can tell you something about you. I can tell you what you care about. These disciples, they got angry. They got angry. Why? Because those people brought those children to Jesus. That's what they cared about. Jesus got angry at the disciples because they were rebuking these parents because he cared for children, and that's what he cared about. Jesus cared for children because of his touch. Jesus cared for children because of his anger. Here's the third thing I want you to notice. Jesus cared for children because, and they mattered to him because of his pronouncement. Look in verse 15. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." Jesus says, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to be like little children. What's so special about them? They're trusting. They'll trust you. We have to trust Jesus. We have to learn to completely and totally depend upon Jesus. What children do? They receive you. We don't receive anything, do we? Somebody takes us out and buys our dinner for us, and what do we say? I'll get it next time. You don't see your children doing that, do you? No. They're trusting. And they are very receiving. Jesus says, you've got to become like little children. There is a spirituality, a very special spirituality, an important time in the lives of children. Their little minds as children are such where we can shape and we can mold them. So many times in life we think we have to wait. We have to babysit them and wait till they get 18 and 20 before we can teach them about the Word of God. Do you realize that it's been proven through research that by the age of 9 years, the spiritual value of a child has been set? At the age of 9. Have you ever noticed in the Bible when it talks about raising up kids, children, that the word is always child? Child. Let's go back to that passage in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Notice this, as you train up a child, you go do some research. You'll find all through the Old Testament, it's about children. Why? Because God made us. And he understands how moldable and how shapeable the children are in those early years. And that's when you train them. That's when you teach them Bible verses. That's when you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was in Romania a few years ago. And we were doing work. We've done work in Romania for many years. And I was with some of the young people in the church there in Timișoara. And one of the young ladies spoke 5 languages. Amazing. Most all of the young people are bilingual, trilingual. It's amazing. And there was a child psychologist with us. And I was telling her about this young lady speaking 5 different languages. And She had learned some of the languages over TV, just watching cartoons when she was little. And she said, yes. The child psychologist said, she said, yes, children learn languages and other things in a different part of their brain when they are small. And it's easier. It is just like a sponge that's absorbent. Because as we get older, we begin to learn languages and other things that are a different part of our brain. And that's why it's so easy for children to learn a language. God knows what he's talking about. When he says, you bring up a child. Sometimes a mom or dad will bring me their 16-year-old or their 15-year-old. And they'll say, he's on drugs, he's all messed up, and you straighten him out. And I want to say to him, look, you've waited 15 years too late. You've waited 15 years too late. Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven, the little children. And then here's the last thing I suggest to you. Children mattered to Jesus because of his blessing. Look in verse 16. And he took them up in his arms. Now you think about that. Think about it. Jesus taking up a little child, maybe wiping their hair back from their sweaty brow, maybe even kissing them on the cheek. And he put his hands on them and he blessed them. In the Greek, that means he fervently blessed them. When you look at Jesus and you look at children with Jesus, they mattered. And Jesus gave these children three gifts. He gave them the gift of time, the gift of touch, and the gift of prayer. And beloved, if Jesus valued children, don't you think we ought to? When it comes to the matter of children, we ought to love them. We ought to accept them. We ought to teach them. And we ought to do whatever we can to receive them. What about this church out in Kansas a few years ago? And they just built a new front onto the church building, and they poured concrete and they poured a sidewalk. And late in the afternoon, a mom brought her two little kids when no one's around. And she put the footprints in the concrete, that wet concrete, to those facing toward the entrance to the church. And it was her way of imprinting and those children's feet into that concrete facing the church. It was her way to saying, Lord, I'm going to give you my child. And I'm going to do everything that I can to love that child and to bring up that child and dedicate that child to you. Folks, listen. When children have godly parents who are willing to take the time to train and to love them, and they are in a church that cares about children, I like the chances. I like the chances of that child. We sing the song of invitation. Today, as we sing this song of encouragement, if you're not a child of God, maybe as a parent, that's where you really need to begin today. Maybe you need to come confessing the beautiful name of Jesus. Be willing to change your heart, your life. Be willing to be taken and buried in baptism and participate in the death of Jesus and let the blood of Jesus wash away your sins. That's the greatest thing in the world that you could do today for your child. To give them a godly mom and to give them a godly dad. Maybe you're an erring child of God today. The things in your life of a public nature need you to take care of those. This church will pray for you. God will forgive you. You come. And you do what you need to do to be what you need to be. If we can assist you today, you come while we stand and while we sing.